Das Politik Daily News Brief, Wednesday, December 18, 2019. Today, the House meets to cast a final vote to impeach President Trump. This will be a partisan vote that will pass in favor of the Democrats. The whole impeachment process in the House has been a kangaroo setup from the beginning. Democrats controlled the process, which did not allow for the Republicans to call a single witness. In addition to this, Democrats would not even call the original whistleblower to testify. Unbelievable. President Trump wrote a letter to the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, thoroughly rebuking the impeachment process and pending vote today. It's a long letter, so let me provide you with some highlights. Dear Madam Speaker, I write to express my strongest and most powerful protest against the partisan impeachment crusade being pursued by the Democrats in the House of Representatives. This impeachment represents an unprecedented and unconstitutional abuse of power by the Democrat lawmakers, unequaled in nearly 2.5 centuries of American legislative history. The articles of impeachment introduced by the House Judiciary Committee are not recognized under the Constitution in any standard of constitutional theory, interpretation, or jurisprudence. They include no crimes, no misdemeanors, no offenses whatsoever. You have cheapened the importance of the very ugly word impeachment. He's got an exclamation point there. By proceeding with your invalid impeachment, you are violating your oath of office, you are breaking your allegiance to the Constitution, and you are declaring open war on the American democracy. You dare to invoke the Founding Fathers in pursuit of this election nullification scheme, yet your spiteful actions display unfettered contempt for America's founding, and your egregious conduct threatens to destroy that which our fathers pledged to their very lives to build. Even worse than offending the Founding Fathers, you are offending Americans of faith by continually saying, quote, I pray for the president, end quote. When you know this statement is not true, unless it is meant in a negative sense, it is a terrible thing what you are doing, but you will have to live with it, not I. President Trump goes on to bring Speaker Joe Biden's past into this letter also. You know full well Vice President Biden used his office and $1 billion of U.S. aid money to coerce Ukraine into firing the prosecutor who was digging into the company paying his son millions of dollars. You know this because Biden bragged about it on video. Biden openly stated, quote, I said, I'm telling you, you're not going to get the $1 billion. I looked at them and said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor is not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch, he got fired, end quote. Even Joe Biden admitted just days ago in an interview with NPR that it looked bad. Now you're trying to impeach me, falsely accusing me of doing what Joe Biden has admitted he actually did. Trump's letter goes on to remind the speaker that the Democrats have been working on impeachment since President Trump was elected into office in 2016. Speaker Pelosi, you admitted just last week in a public forum that your party's impeachment effort has been going on for nearly 2.5 years, long before you ever heard of the phone call with Ukraine. 19 minutes after I took the oath of office, the Washington Post published a story headline, quote, the campaign to impeach President Trump has begun, end quote. Less than 3 months after my inauguration, Representative Maxine Waters stated, I'm going to fight every day until he's impeached. House Representative Democrats introduced the first impeachment resolution against me within months of my inauguration for what will be regarded as one of our country's best decisions, the firing of James Comey, who the world knows is one of the dirtiest cops our nation has ever seen. A ranting and raving Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib declared just hours after she was sworn in office, we're going to go in there and we're going to impeach the mother effer. Representative Al Green said in May, I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected. Again, your allies said and did all of those things long before you ever heard of President Zelensky or anything related to Ukraine. As you know very well, this impeachment drive has nothing to do with Ukraine or the totally appropriate conversation I had with the new president. It only has to do with your attempt to undo the election of 2016 and to steal the election of 2020. Trump then ends his letter with this. There is far too much that needs to be done to improve the lives of our citizens. It's time for you and the highly partisan Democrats in Congress to immediately cease this impeachment fantasy and get back to work for the American people. While I have no expectation that you will do so, I write this letter to you for the purpose of history and to put my thoughts on permanent and indelible record. 100 years from now, when people look back at this affair, I want them to understand and learn from it so that it can never happen to another president again. Trump is a fighter, and he sent this letter on the very day that the House Democrats are going to impeach him, and good on him for that. In other news, FISA court issues rare public order condemning FBI for Russia probe abuses and demanding reforms. The order follows the release of an Intelligence Committee Inspector General Michael Horowitz's report, which detailed 17 significant errors and omissions in the warrant application to surveil Carter Page, one of Trump's campaign staffers in the 2016 election. The order reads in part, follow this, the order reads in part, the frequency with which representations made by FBI personnel turn out to be unsupported or contradicted by information in their possession, and with which withheld information detrimental to their case, calls into question whether information contained in the FBI applications is reliable. The court goes on to say, therefore, the court orders that the government shall, no later than January 10, 2020, inform the court in a sworn written statement of what it has done and plans to do, and to ensure that the statement of facts in each FBI application accurately and completely reflects information possessed by the FBI that is material to any issue presented by the application. It's pretty striking. It's interesting to see that there are people within our intelligence community and the secret courts who are still willing to fight corruption. Not sure this will last much longer in our country, especially if the Democrats ever regain control of the executive branch. Remember, all this happened under the Obama administration. In other news, Washington's new car seat law may keep kids strapped in till junior high. Governor Jay Inslee signed into law this past April updated regulations on car and booster seat use to better protect children. The new guidelines will go into effect January 1st, and these new regulations include children older than 4 years old but shorter than 4'9" and who have outgrown their child harness seat must use a booster seat. That means kids will need a booster seat until about age 10 to 12 years old. It also reads, drivers will be ticketed if a passenger under age 16 is not using the car seat booster seat or seat belt based on their age, height, or weight. That is just unbelievable. Our government is full of legalistic and petty laws. Man's law always brings tyranny. God's law always brings liberty. And I choose the latter. 90% of Virginia counties are now gun sanctuaries. Back on November 5th, the Democrats took control of Richmond, and they're now feeling a little lucky and about to overextend themselves. The Democrats have proposed legislation to take, register, and possibly seize legally obtained weapons. And in a response, Virginia gun owners in just 43 days have pushed 90% of the state's counties to become gun sanctuaries, the latest three on Monday night. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out when the newly elected Democrats take office in January, but there is a fight coming. The Washington Examiner goes on to say, the language adopted in the movement uses words such as Second Amendment, sanctuary, and constitutional, and signals that the police will not enforce anti-gun laws. Proposals before the Virginia legislature include gun bans, gun registration, expanded background checks, and limits on the size of magazines that a cartridge could hold. End quote. Electing courageous local politicians really matters. I really like the sanctuary movement for both the end abortion movement and this gun sanctuary movement. These sanctuary city movements have started organically, but notice how courage begets courage. And now, Virginia has 86 out of 95 counties are now gun sanctuary cities. That's really good. Let me end here with my favorite B headline. Santa Claus accused of quid pro quo for giving children gifts in exchange for good behavior. Ah! This is your Cross Politic Daily News Brief.